Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. It's August 18th. No, it's the 19th. I'm reading my calendar wrong. It's August 19th, 2020. It's a Wednesday. It's the 19th. Sorry about that. Hey, welcome to today's show on Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. We've got a lovely guest from New Jersey, from the North Bergen School District, actually. Her name's Anaya Jafar, Dr. Anaya Jafar. And that doctor's important for what we're going to be talking about today because she was an educator for a long time, and she went to a place that I recently stumbled upon. It's called the Chicago School of Professional Psychology. And she has been an educator, Anaya, for about 20 years, and she spent most of it in a middle school setting, okay? And she still works as an interventionist. She got her doctorate in educational psychology and chose a different course from a lot of classroom teachers in that regard, and I thought it's really important, especially these days with COVID-19, remote learning, the stress and strain of that on both students and teachers. And I thought talking about how to continue your career, okay, within schools, but in educational psychology might be an interesting conversation. And I think I'm going to be right on that. And the Chicago School of Professional Psychology trains teachers and others just to do just that. So we're going to find out from Anaya exactly what she went through, what her educational journey has been like, and what it's like today with her doctorate in ed psych. All right, we're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org and tweet it out over at EduTalk Radio like we always do on Facebook. And I don't know why I made all these separate, but I did. On Facebook, it's Larry Jacobs and or Education Talk Radio. You can follow us over there. And on LinkedIn, it's Larry Jacobs. Please join our consortium. It's free to K-12 educators of all levels, be they the superintendent, be they the classroom teacher. All right, it's over at ACE-ED.org. And it's an acronym, the American Consortium for Equity in Education, ACE-ED.org. You'll love our magazine over there, and we want your voice to be heard in our never-ending quest for equity, ACE-ED.org. We're pretty proud of what we do over there. Please join with us. Going to bring Anaya on now. It's spinning. It's spinning. You'd think I'd do that before, but I didn't. Hello, Anaya. It's Larry here. How are you today?
Hello, Larry. Good. How are you?
I'm fine. New Jersey, huh? You're in New Jersey.
New Jersey, yes. My children make fun of my coffee accent. Yes, they do.
Are you from? I'm from Philadelphia originally. I live in Maine now, so my coffee is the same as your coffee.
Okay. Well, I'm glad for that.
Yeah, it is. Are you from Jersey originally?
Yeah. I mean, 42 years I've been in the same state, same county. So, yep, right across the river from New York City. So,
I know just where you are. And had you been in Camden, you would have been right across the river from where I grew up, over in Philly.
Exactly.
And I thought maybe you had crossed one of those bridges in your youth to move to the Garden State. Okay, but you are a Jersey girl, as we like to say.
I am a Jersey girl. That's right.
Jersey, and you're a Dr. Jersey girl, I might add, Anaya Jafar.
I am a Dr. Jersey girl, yes.
Cool. How long have you had your doctorate?
Well, I just graduated, actually, in October of 2019. Yeah.
Well, that's a year now, so congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That's really cool. And the degree you have, is it an EDD or a PhD?
Yes, it is an EDD. Uh-huh.
EDD.
Yep, an educational psychology and technology. Yep.
Yeah, and we're going to need that more than ever. We're going to put those two things together, okay? I have to ask you, and a lot of people I don't think know about the school. That's what I wanted to do a lot of talking about today. It's a good school, the Chicago School of Professional Psychology. How did you find out about that?
You know, I think it was a long time that I knew I had to go into a different direction, maybe take a next step, right, and grow as a professional.
Sure.
And an individual. And so in my pursuit, I was looking at different areas that I want to go into, just psychology, maybe clinical. I wasn't really certain. But then when I found this program and what they stood for, It was the place for me.
That's cool. And how did you remember who told you about it? Because I find it interesting because I haven't heard it mentioned a lot. And as I learned more and more about it, which is why we're doing this show, I found it to be a pretty good place. I got to tell you, I think it's really cool. So do you remember how you found out about it?
It is kind of like a hidden gem. You're right. I think I was looking for a doctoral program, like I said. And I mean, for me, I think my first go-to were ones in our area, and they weren't providing what I was looking for. And I think that I found it when I was searching further, and I saw the field of educational psychology, looked into what the APA had on that, and the Chicago School was one of the ones that I looked into, and I don't regret that decision, not one bit.
Right, and it was all online, your doctorate, right?
It was, yeah. We did have two different residencies where we actually had to go into Chicago and meet with other cohorts and our professors. So there was some time on ground where we had to meet, and those were amazing experiences.
Did you get yourself a pan pizza at least?
Oh, yes, I did.
Good girl. Good. Good, Dr. Jeff Hart. Good. That's excellent.
That's right.
You got to. You're in Chicago, you know. And
absolutely.
You know, what were you doing? And I think I've got this right. I think you were, I don't know how you get these two things together. You were a science teacher and an English teacher in middle school. I assume that was in North Bergen, or where was that?
Yes. A middle school English teacher for the most part. For about 15 years, I served in the middle school. And parts of it, I took on some science courses as well. And I loved both areas. And it just makes perfect sense to me now because as a researcher, I feel like, I love to write, but I also love the science part of learning.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it just makes perfect sense that that's what I would be teaching.
Right. And I always remind your science teachers that they need good English to get those reports out. Okay. Too many people silo everything. They don't think English matters in science. It does. Okay.
Exactly.
And you know what else? Science matters in English. It really does. Okay, so interdisciplinary stuff. Incredible. So you were a middle school teacher, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm curious about this. I think everybody else would. All of a sudden, you wanted to be an educational psychologist, which I think is incredible. We need more and more of those. What prompted that decision, if I may ask?
Honestly, I think that it's my – I don't know. I think I'd have to go back to my – being a community-oriented type of person.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was necessarily a goal to pursue a doctorate as much as it was sort of that necessary next step to continue to grow as a professional and as an individual. When I completed my master's in urban education at a local university, it did broaden my understanding of education in America and how to better serve your urban community. But when I advanced into the doctoral level, I was able to see how education impacts community, not just locally or at a state or federal level, but really globally.
Right. Tell me about it. It really, really does. And I got to tell you, and we are in total agreement on that. And you're still at North Bergen, am I right?
Yes, that's right. Yes.
And you're now, and I wasn't sure I understood this or not. Are you? You're an interventionist. Are you a psychologist there? A school psychologist there?
No, still teaching.
Tell me what you're doing.
Students. Right. So as an interventionist, I'm actually working a lot more closely with students that are struggling readers, struggling writers, and struggling with basic foundations of math. So I do work still closely with students, and I love that I'm still able to do that. And then branch into other areas of research, because they bring me joy, and I get to learn from them, I think, as much as they learn from me. So, that's definitely something that I do.
Lady, the one thing they can teach you that no adult knows is they can actually program your remote. So tap into that.
Oh, yeah. Anything
you will always learn from them.
They'll teach me a thing or two.
And are you adjunct faculty also at the college?
I am, yes. I'm currently not teaching a course. I did TA with my dissertation chair for a couple of courses, which I loved. But I'm not currently teaching. I'm currently actually conducting research. So I'm very happy to be a part of the educational psychology and technology department at the Chicago School as well.
Cool. Yeah. And what's your research on?
Well, we actually have two studies that we have underway. One is on the effects of Hurricane Michael on a school in Florida. I don't know if you remember in 2018, Hurricane Michael hit.
I don't remember
the
that one.
Panhandle.
I'm embarrassed to say.
Yeah.
Where did it hit? Where did it hit?
It hit the Panhandle, and you know, it really did cause a lot of not only.
That's
emotional
the one. That,
and,
is that the one that knocked out all those that whole area near Tallahassee?
Oh yeah, yeah. Right.
That,
we're just
okay,
south of that.
I remember.
Absolutely.
I remember it. I didn't remember the name, but I remember the hurricane. Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
go ahead.
Schools were closed. Schools were closed for over a month, and it really just impacted them in so many ways.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was an opportunity for us to just take a closer look at what happens when natural disasters hit, and then here we are at a pandemic. And so,
yeah, we're just going to say good training.
Right. So, yeah. Which actually leads me to that second study that we're also now is in IRB review on COVID-19 and teacher perceptions of you know, how that kind of is all going for them. So,
wow.
I can't wait to, can't wait to conduct that. Absolutely.
Oh, that's really interesting. And, you know, there's something else I must ask you about the Chicago School, which strikes me as very interesting. Your degree, and this is the degree they confer, is in educational psychology and technology. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
And I get the ed psych part. And but I have to admit, I don't understand the end technology part. Can you put those two things together for me?
Absolutely, absolutely. It actually is kind of bringing. It's actually kind of bringing the bringing two worlds together. You know, there are educational technology degrees, and then there are educational psychology degrees. And
yes.
What the Chicago School has done with this particular program and this particular degree is actually bring both worlds together. So now not only are we learning about all the tech tools and things we can do with technology, but now how is learning affected when technology is integrated? What do we do with the technology to enhance learning, to engage students, to motivate them? So it's so fascinating to not just focus on the technology and the edtech tools and all of that, but now let's take the learning, the psychology, the emotions behind everything. And so It's a fascinating degree.
That's a great degree, and I hate to say it, especially in COVID times. Okay,
yes.
I hate to say anything's good in COVID times, but
it definitely came in handy. Let me tell you.
Wow, it's incredible, and I'm going to ask you because I have been fighting myself and other people as well because people like to call what we're doing now in many cases distance learning or remote learning. Okay,
right.
And I prefer to call it distance education or remote education because I'll be honest with you, and this is what your kind of degree is in, okay, I'm not sure anybody's learning anything right now, and I don't think the school districts are sure anybody's learning anything. Now, I believe they actually are. That's, you know, let's take that to the nth degree. But it's going to be – but somehow – We have to be able to, A, and that's why what you're doing is so important, we have to understand how technology literally impacts learning. And I don't mean just using a whiteboard in a classroom. I don't mean that. I mean, how does that affect the learning? All right?
Right.
And now that we're remote, these are all your questions, right? Now that we're remote, how does the not touchy feely, the non-classroom, the use of strictly technology, okay, affect learning. That you landed at the right place at the right time, and I got to tell you.
Well, actually, you know what's interesting too is that my dissertation was on the teacher-student relationship when technology was integrated in the middle school setting, and so what I was, you know, I'm going to tell you that the foundation of what I do as an educator is to build relationships. So forget about the learning and the teaching right now. Let's focus on the relationship.
Okay.
And what I found was, and it was really more or less around the perceptions of the teachers. And the study, by the way, actually, I just presented at the APA 2020 conference And I was happy to be able to do that. But what it actually showed was that, yeah, teachers were reluctant to use the technology, but not because they were afraid of the technology, but really they were afraid to lose that human connection.
How
and I think that that was what the, that is what the underlying issue really was. And so I think my work has been to remind teachers that they are still the educator. It's not the tool. Technology is great that we have it in, and it's at our, you know, fingertips, and we're able to use these things to stay connected, even in the middle of a pandemic, but you're still the educator, and you're the one that's going to make the most impact on your students.
And you have to be able to do it and do it well. That's a great theory. As you talk, and a great facts, by the way, you know, data, et cetera.
Right.
As you talk to your fellow educators, I mean, you work in the North Bergen School District. You're certainly talking to your colleagues, okay, through all this. How is this all technology, if I may, okay? By the way, you guys going back to school? What's the word on that before I get into the question? What's the word on going back?
Well, so far we're starting the year virtually. So we are, for the month
Good.
Of September, continuing virtually until we sort of evaluate things. I've been on the restart committee in our district as well, and our leaders have been amazing in, you know, taking care of not just the students and their families, but the educators' needs as well. And so I'm really happy that they made that decision.
It's a very good decision, and I'll tell you, up here, I live in Maine now, and right where I live, they're going back 2 days. So 50% of the school will be in 2 days a week, and then one day a week on Wednesday, the school is completely closed. It'll be totally online learning, and I'm not so sure I agree with that. Okay, I'd rather do the, especially Jersey, where it was so prevalent, the disease. I think you guys made a good decision, and I have to say this. I say it every show. Everybody, no decision is the right one yet because we don't know.
No.
Okay,
we're just doing the
best we can, and everybody's just taking a shot, and then hopefully leading towards erring to the side of caution. I'd rather have the kids lose a little bit of learning than carry a disease home. Okay.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so that's a trade-off we just have to do. So I'm glad for North Bergen. I hope it works out, and it works out well. Let me just ask you one other question. You probably heard me say, you know, that we have our consortium for equity. The North Bergen School District, you're right across the river. Talk to me about that.
Well, I'll tell you that that was probably the biggest challenge. We had 2 weeks to figure out what we were going to do as far as, you know, educating our students remotely. And we are still not, we still weren't at the time. We now are, thank goodness. We weren't at the time one-to-one. So we did not have devices for every student. So we have such an amazing technology team that they somehow made the impossible possible. I mean, devices went home, internet services were provided. It was just amazing what we were actually able to do in such a short
2 weeks.
Period.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Yeah, it really was.
It's amazing,
like a plan,
isn't it?
Boom, here we go. We have a plan, you know, and everything kind of, and it was hard and it was difficult. And I think the emotional element of it was probably the worst part, but we got through it and we did it. And so I'm very proud of, you know, being an educator at this time. And we did. We definitely
did.
It.
And,
you know,
and you know, the challenge, and you said you weren't one-to-one, but one-to-one is different when you're all in school versus when you're all remote, because you can have a Chromebook, let's say, at home, or a phone if you're using that, okay? But you have to have access. Okay, you have to have access to the internet, and that's a whole different thing. And I'm glad this is working out in North Bergen. I wish you guys really, really the best. As you now, I want to get back to my question. As you talk to your colleagues now, and again, you're now a psychologist, okay, doctor. All right, so you're not just a teacher. You know what I mean? You're not just a teacher by yourself. You're now a psychologist too. What are you hearing from the teachers? How are they doing?
You know, there's a definite apprehension. But what I think we're doing is we really haven't stopped working. You know, there was no summer vacation. You know, we continued to work, and people are exploring new ways and things to do with their students using the technology. We even formulated, and this is voluntary, we even put together, our superintendent was great at putting together a committee, and underneath that is our, you know, STEM director and everyone else under that, you know, that is able to contribute. And we're putting together voluntary professional development, the teachers, like paying it, you know, forward sort of thing, and what we've learned and giving to our community of teachers. And so we just started actually yesterday. We gave our first professional development, and it was a lot of fun. And it was on, like, for example, yesterday's session was on Flipgrid, you know, and how to integrate a tool like Flipgrid to promote critical thinking and reflection. And there were about 50 people in on this session, voluntarily taking time out of their summer to sit.
To listen
to what we had to say. And so I was very grateful and so proud to see that. Granted, there was a spinning wheel with a prize at the end, just because I felt like if you're going to take time out of your summer evening, you should earn something.
That's great. I'm laughing because that's cute. That's a great idea. Why the hell not? Right?
It's super. It is. Why not? And
what was the prize? Let me guess. A $50 Amazon certificate. Gift card.
Not that high in price, okay. But definitely Amazon gift card, because, yeah, why not? Buy something for
Why not? Right. I think that's great.
It just speaks to the dedication of these teachers and what they're willing to do in the most impossible situation to make it possible for their students. So it is, you know, sometimes out of the worst experiences, you see the compassion and the determination and resilience of people. And I think that is what I'm gaining from all of this.
Yeah, I mean, resilience is, and, you know, I have to say this, the more we try to teach resilience to the kids. Okay,
right.
We try to teach the resilience to the kids. And now suddenly we have to be resilient, not that we aren't every day, but you know what I mean, in a very professional setting.
Absolutely.
We have to be resilient when literally the floor opened up and the cave-in started, okay? And we're doing that, okay? And I have to ask, you have the degree. It's a great degree. Ed Psych and technology mixed together is incredible, all right? And you said so many people showed up, and we were pleased to have them show up. Why'd you say we? Were you doing the webinar?
Well, yeah, me and actually a coworker who also got a doctorate last year, but she got hers in educational technology from a local university. And so she's also a Google educator. So she knows everything Google.
Smart lady.
The most creative person.
So are you?
I have, yes. Most. So I think that the teamwork that we put forth, we also have another one actually tonight on shifting to online learning. So it's a lot of fun, you know, and then I'm doing one next week on student engagement in the virtual environment. So I'm excited to be able to do something like this for our educators. And
you're amazing. They should thank the good Lord for helping you. Okay. For you helping them this. And I want to ask the other side of this, because webinars have a lot to do with technology, but you bring, and this is key, Anaya, you bring the psychology to it, okay? And I think that's really important, okay, these days.
Right.
I mean, teachers are going through the same hammers of hell that kids are going through, okay? And you have the same fears, God forbid somebody gets the disease, okay, or somebody you know gets the disease. How long is this going to last? I've never been trained to do this. I've never been trained to learn in this environment. Never been trained to teach in the environment. Just go to the psychology point of this. As you put together these webinars, are you thinking about the psychology behind it?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you have to be.
Social...
Yeah, it's innate now.
Right.
Yeah, doctor. Yeah,
it definitely is.
Articulate it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the social and emotional element is what's going to have to come in. I mean, the state is pushing for it, whether we like it or not. But social and emotional learning has to be at the forefront of whatever we're going to do when it comes to remote learning and teaching with technology. And so I think I think that pretty much is what we are going to have to make sure to be aware of, cognitive of, and just, you know, putting that into every lesson that we're, it's more about that, you know, balancing that synchronous time and asynchronous time and being able to have that face-to-face, you know, let's get on to a meet and, you know, let's do this. If one of my coworkers was having trouble doing something, let's get on, let's go, let's hop on, let's do this, share your screen with me, show me how it's done. So that human connection that, you know, I saw in the perceptions of the teachers in my own study was something that I knew was absolutely critical right now as well. So
yeah,
I'm hoping that, yeah, I'm sorry, yeah, I hope that teachers see that as well, and I'm trying as much as I can in these professional development sessions to really point that out, that yes, we're shifting our mindset to see things a little bit differently and maybe do them differently, but it's also keeping the social and emotional element at the forefront of what we're doing.
And you are so right. That is so key. And speaking of that, okay, that social emotional element, which is so key, and I hope teachers are more and more, they'll see why they have to be more and more aware of it. I just want to ask you, regarding families at home, you know, the students' families, okay?
Right.
I don't know if you've thought about this. What are their expectations? Are their expectations, I don't know if you know the answer to this, for a full year of learning? Or are the expectations of the amount of learning, if I may, what's the expectation to the community right now?
I'll tell you, one of the other aspects to this whole experience for me was how involved parents were. Even if they didn't know how to use a device or how exactly to help their child, just staying in constant communication and doing the best that they can for their children, I'm telling you, it was so eye-opening. I mean, parents jumping in at the end of the meet, I just have to ask you a question. Can I call you? And then, yeah, and it was just really that connection that we made also with the parents that I think was far exceeded my expectations, I have to tell you. And then they began to sort of trust what we were doing for them and that what we were doing for them was the best. You know, whatever recommendations I had, okay, you got it. I'm going to work with them on this summer. You know, I'm going to do this. And that was, I think, the best part of it is that the parents that trust what we're doing.
I just wrote it down.
And they know. Yeah.
I love that word, trust.
They do.
Yeah.
They really do. They trust that what we're doing is in the best interest of the students. And so they're, you know, our allies. Like if we are not working together, the student isn't going to succeed. And that has been, I think, the best part of all of this as well.
Yeah. And you know, what's interesting, what's going to come out interesting, the parents always were your allies. Okay. But for years, let's say 5,000 of them, they've sent the kid to school. All right.
Right.
And there's a barrier right there. Okay. There really is.
Yeah.
Okay. Because they send the kid to school. Now all of a sudden, the child is learning. We don't know how long it's going to be at home where the parents are, and all of a sudden that alliance is going to become more and more important. And I'll tell you, school districts, okay, that have not built that alliance well are going to pay the price.
Right.
All right?
Right,
and that's why what you were saying is so darn important. This is really good stuff. You bring a lot to the table tonight, I got to tell you.
Well, 20 years, I think, means something.
Well, it's not just 20 years. You know, you've been in education for 20 years, but you
saw, and
I'm sure you are an excellent teacher. Okay, but what you're doing now, okay,
right.
okay, and the degree that you pursued, all right, is really going to make a difference. Okay, not only for you and your particular students, but sounds to me like for the whole district. So it's really good. Thank you for coming on. I really appreciate this. It's been lovely to talk to you.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. I definitely hope that we can do everything that we can to make things better and
we will.
Make successful students. Definitely
we will.
Survive and thrive in this world, right? So
give
that
them,
is our goal,
give,
ultimate goal.
Give them rigorous curriculum. Don't cut them short. Give them tough curriculum, and I guarantee you they're going to rise to the occasion. I guarantee it.
They definitely will. They definitely will.
And so will the teachers, I might add. So you have a good day. Stay safe, please, and
thank
good old
you
Joy
so
Z,
much,
all right?
Larry. Thank you.
Thank
you.
Thank
you. Take care. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. She's terrific. Wow, thank you. Dr. Anaya Jafar from North Bergen Schools in New Jersey. She got that degree. This degree is so cool, the Educational Psychology and Technology degree. Okay, she got her doctorate. Okay, the Chicago School of Professional Psychology. This is great to know about. She said it's a hidden gem. It said the Chicago School .edu, thechicagoschool.edu. This is really good stuff. Again, a degree in ed, psych, and technology. Who could ask for anything more these days? Wow, unbelievable. And for the foreseeable future, I'm talking years, because technology is education. We're going to archive the show, education-talkradio.org. Tweet it out at EduTalk Radio. Please go over to Our Equity Consortium at ACE.org. My name is Larry Jacobs. Thank you, Anaya.